সে বুদ্ধির
we do it back. See what I mean?
only concern is, I don't know what, you know, I haven't kept track of all the small little changes that probably take to that borough power. We might have overly small little things that could be collected whilst we're in the process of drafting it. So I'm not sure which version that is. Is it not possible to get the very latest version that the such type that we
What sort of model is given to us?
The thing is that as far as the system comes, the new bar looking point does not have a word connected version, the electronic key of the phone, only the CD version. And as a time to the format to get here, the connection doesn't come up the same. This is what's not in there, so this is not the final version. And it doesn't correspond as far as numbering and lines, and you're not sure what else is in the role, it has not been changed either.
But somebody must have booked it.
In any event, is that legible?
It is legible.
Oh, we can but read it.
But the problem is that we're not, it seems like it's not this one.
Mm.
One version, whether it's said it's not a type of version. Yes, Mr. President.
In our last meeting, we approved basically with it one or two points that had to come in.
Yeah.
And this was on this book. On this,
yes.
This book.
Yes, it was on this book.
So to put them in here and you have a copy and get the electronic right then after this.
So, but who was going to get it? You know that, Lord Jagger? You must have
no, I have this electronic version.
Electronic.
Not the electronic
version. They're not going to type this in the
case. No, the electronic version share in Parliament. What we do is we certify the deal, we send it to Parliament, get edited, and then they send us back a version that is on PDF. We cannot. With Parliament, I would have.
It's with Parliament.
Yes, sir.
I don't want the children to read here, so that's my
problem. I don't want
we have an experience of children that's not reading.
It is possible to go because
yes,
I think we all have this.
But
yes.
You have to be confident that the amendments that we are rejecting,
it's the same as.
Yeah.
Then we'll get to the right document.
You
also
have
maybe
5-10 minutes.
I didn't
make
all
of it either.
Okay.
I have in your brief to do that. But let's also allocate where the problem was. So if it's just a dream to do that, that's fine. But how can you avoid that thing going to happen tomorrow? How do you know that somebody was sitting somewhere somehow? Because you can't just say, okay, fine, go and fix it up. What went wrong? Because everybody knew that I was going to be today. Everybody is supposed to work until so that when we are here, everything. I don't mind to do some 5 minutes, but we need to be told what went wrong between that meeting and now. Why they didn't fix that thing up?
Because the last meeting we were ready to approve, we just didn't have a quorum.
No, did that.
if we can have the right question there, we can finalize this thing today.
Yeah.
So that's my idea. So can you talk about it? Who is your assistant? Can you go to Mr. Bell's office and see if he can give you on the topic?
Okay, Abhi,
talking to
Mr.
Bell
and the version, the only version that he has is a
the
so
we're talking about another book for him. Nobody
tells him to want to. Tell me, you know, you can convert it. If you highlight it and cut it and paste it on web.
What normally happens as the state law, right, in the end of the constitution, whatever amendments are proposed today, I have to capture them in a document or proposed amendment. And then this document has to go to the relevant people, to the senders who are going to incorporate or adjust the version of the bill. And not normal procedure.
You take a soft copy here and take it back, wherever you are. We have two instances here where we committee will approve certain amendments and they will go you guys and create wrong versions too. Which changes must be effective.
Yes.
That's the problem here also.
But I was just sitting on the
I'm telling you that project doesn't work. We want to finalize this thing today.
Thank you. Thank you.
You will now see this door with what much this way. You don't have to sit down again. We've got the apologists come from Nora and Monday.
Looking at this paper here,
on the two that take that line the seven to omit more than one and to substitute in service more than one. But they think they can just so that they read the whole thing that if you substitute, you know, if you need or you add whatever, so that you can affect.
Absolutely.
Can you go back to point number two? So that's try to read that so that you understand what you're
saying. So if he or she has been convicted of an offense under the Act, so this is the division of the modern law. In line 59, a member of the board, that's the paragraph, a member of the board may not serve more than two consecutive terms. Again, on page 3 again, after the word shall, line number 57, that's 3, any person whose term of office as a member of the board has expired, shall, after that word shall, we want to add the word immediately thereafter for the appointment. So then the whole sentence is, any person whose term of office as a member of the board has expired,
shall immediately thereafter be eligible for reappointment. The chair, as it now stands, it's quite clear. As it now stands, it says any person whose term of office as a member of the board has expired shall be eligible for reappointment.
Can you explain? We were thinking of a scenario where 2 years down the line, a member may not be eligible for reappointment. So once his term has expired, if there is to be a reappointment, then it should be immediately after that term expires, because we are not following the process of advertising and so on and so forth. So this member has already qualified, he has already performed his functions as a member. So 2 years or 3 years down the line, a member who has served can always say, in terms of this act, I'm eligible for reappointment.
Do you just make double sure?
Yes.
I don't remember how you were saying. You had a fire.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, no, no, no. No. You see, chairperson. If something is quite crystal clear. Not enough. Why do we need double sure
again?
No, he's not asking a question. He said it's clear. But say, I wouldn't mind hearing the honourable member.
I understand Aram correctly. Why should he actually put him in again? If I understand the information you need, only immediately.
Yes.
What period is immediate thereafter? How do you measure immediately?
That will be the immediate.
So that is clear from this formulation.
I think that's what we're trying to specify, to say that immediately with the next board.
That's what last week we started from. We have on it.
On that floor. And that's the interpretation that was the chair again.
And is it apparent from this formulation? That is how
it's going. I'm just a public policy.
So again, see, I'm just wondering, in terms of this, you say without complying with other processes.
Yes.
But if you look at this, section 2D3, the last election committee that is going to make a submission to the president, I would then suggest that in terms of that selection committee, this person is not going to part of that list going to the minister, but he's assumed that it doesn't fall within that category. Or does that mean that the selection committee is going just to add that name of that person in that list of minister? What is the process?
As I'm saying, we spent some time on this thing last year.
I'm not saying you see funny for both sides there are maybe not satisfied, but even ourselves, whether we're there or not, is immaterial. But now you can even if you spend time in the previous day, but when you think over that issue comes back, you might have some thoughts. I didn't think that part. I'm just asking that clarity, the question of the clarity. In terms of this three.
My understanding is that the selection process, the advertising process, selection process deals with new members. So, to answer the member's question, this deals with 3 or 450 members. That doesn't have to fulfill those processes. So, yes, maybe practically, the procedure would be to say, okay, so many members are going to be reappointed. So, of the applications we receive, only so many new appointments need to be made, and the selection committee will then deliberate on only selecting, say, 2 hourly appointments, so the rest will be new members. And the entire list will then be submitted to the minister. The entire list of new members will then be submitted to the minister, with probably a provider at the bottom to say, so these are the existing members who have now been reappointed.
That's my point. But when it's submitted that list, if that list doesn't cater the old one, the assumption is that in terms of that list, the old ones are not part of that list.
Still, Chair, I think one should think practically about this. And the point is rightly taken. You should read this whole, if I may say, subsection 4 as our. And it starts in it's about how long the term of a member or a person is. Roman 4:1 is, okay, in the case of an officer at the minister's discretion. Then the important part in 2, they are appointed for a period of 3 years. And such members shall, after that, those 3 years have expired, continue in office until his or her successor has been appointed. Now, if you then read B, it makes sense, because this person, say, Mazadlali, has continued for 3.5 years under the continuation in the first part, and now the minister wants to appoint him again. Then she don't have to go, in his case, through the whole process. And that's why the immediately thereafter is intended for. And not so much when a term for a new board is come. Because as the practice of these things come, people have resigned or they've come away, and the terms are now not very neatly 3 years and then everyone go off. And sometimes there's a delay in appointing the new board, so let them go on. But if Mr. Lally is again appointed for a new term after he has now served 3 plus a half year continued, then this will be applicable. I think that's the practical meaning of that.
Yes, yes.
Next amendment is on page 4, after line 14. We wanted to add a new paragraph, which will now, I'm advised, will be paragraph 5, which reads as follows: fails to perform his or her duties in terms of this act. Now, if I may explain, the whole of section 5 deals with
disqualification of members. When will a member be disqualified? So if I were to read it, it would read as follows. A member of the board shall vacate his or her office, or shall vacate office if he or she, and to read the amendment, fails to perform his or her duties in terms of this act.
Why does this new provision become 5 instead of 4? Have we not deleted 4?
Well, the senior advisor may answer that question.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of this basic transitional rule, Chair, that 4 may, or rather, Chair, in other legislation, there may be a reference to this particular subsection 5 of this act. And so what happened is that 4 that is deleted now will remain a 4, which is going to be empty share, and then the 5 will be a new 5. But normally that 4 that is there share will remain a different share. We don't remove it. So sometimes they may be using that, making reference to this particular subsection. So it's not the document rules really. Leave that for the business there. So it's going to be in the principal act now, and then there will be leave some thoughts, and then at the bottom of that, we are going to say deleted in terms of the legal rules and then the but so we got the rules of interpretation of the staff in there that you are following.
Now you are then saying, in another act, then you are going to make reference on this particular act. Where will it be then, if you will be in terms of our understanding?
Well, what I mean is that, if in getting the other legislation, there may be a reference to this paragraph 4 that is there, right? And then if now we have a new paragraph 4, a new paragraph 4 says, which is going to say fails to perform his or her duties of the act. You're not going to correspond with what that reference is.
Sir, could I just assist here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This 4 isn't a new one. It's quoted directly from the old act. I've got it in front of me. It was the old section 2, 5, A, 4, where you had a different composition of the whole one council. People from the KWV, for example, were nominated as members. And there was this, there was reason then. So when the KWV wants to withdraw that member, they had to do this as stated in 4. So I checked, I think it was just because it's a different type of board that we have now. I think the lawyers should just look at it if there's no need for it or argue for it. But from the background, that it was designed for a completely different system than the one that we have now.
Is it not a question, Chair, of this bill being an amendment bill? Which would mean then that when it becomes law, it should be clear as what it was that was removed from the principal act.
That's what I do.
So that, as he says, when another piece of legislation makes reference to this particular paragraph, when you go to this paragraph, you should find, you should establish that provision has since been deleted.
Yes.
So that is why it has to remain here.
Yeah, no, that's quite right. Number two, I point to something different. It has indeed to be deleted as now done because it belongs. It should have gone out of the Alba. But what is now put in its place, that has been a question coming up. Is that really the applicable one? Because you now have two places where a member can go from, shall vacate his post on the board. It's the new one in 5, and then the important other one is in B, in page 4, line 50. Subject to administrative justice, the minister may at any time remove the member if in the minister of the opinion of the minister sound reason exists for doing so. That is a standard wording which also the law advisors prefer. But now there's a different one put in. Failure to perform his or her duty of in terms of the act. Now who decides that? The member himself? Or is it a case where the minister should have applied her mind in terms of being? That's my question.
We also debated this within ourselves, and you know, my understanding of the board is, of course, the chairperson of that board will have to assess how his members perform, and because every board should have a constitution and should have certain rules and procedures governing the practicalities of the sitting of that board. Like, this committee will obviously have a constitution about how many meetings to attend, etc., etc. And performance is also, the best people to evaluate performance would be the chairperson of that board and so on, because the minister is not sitting there, but the minister has the representative and so on and so forth. And obviously, there will be feedback, because when the reappointment takes place, naturally, apart from all the skills and qualifications the person has to have, there's also obviously, because it's such a my label, there will also be a vote given to the minister continuous. So, my understanding is, so correctly, Deputy Minister, the assessment of the board member has to be done. It's just a case of how it's going to be done, the practical issues. And I'm thinking, go to the Constitution.
If you will allow me. The problem is, this is a matter, this original inserted, it's a matter which must be objectively proven. Now, the practical experience that I have with boards of this kind, from land bank boards to all types of boards is a place where there's always trouble. And this person don't like
absolutely
that.
Absolutely right. We read it in the papers every weekend.
And this person don't like that person, so this person will say to that person, but you know, because you said that, you were not, you failed to perform your duty. Now it becomes a big fight. And then that one says, no, but you didn't hear, and then they're going to the information court, and you can't, it's not the chairperson who decided it. Never stands there, the chairperson. If a person tries to perform his duties as a director, then in any event, ex lege, from the laws working itself, it will operate. And in any event, the minister can then be informed by the board, this person is not doing his duty, give notice, because that's reasonable reason. But this is the thing to start. I don't think it's wise.
I'm happy to leave it out if the committee feels that it should be, because it, like the Deputy Minister explained, it is going to be practically a problem. Assessment is always subjective when it should be objective. So I'm happy to.
Yes. Naturally, the reference here is to subsection 2A1, 2, or 4 of the Principal Act. Because this is a clause which comes from the Principal Act. Now, what do those particular subsections say? In the Principal Act.
Sorry, sir.
2A.
Wasn't the Deputy Minister talking about the advisability of us retaining this new amendment?
That's right.
That
yes,
doesn't
yes.
seem to be practically possible.
Yeah, that's
what you who actions that?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The current
yeah,
provision B,
yeah.
yes, the current provision B does seem to take care of that eventuality,
yeah.
where the minister is allowed to
yeah.
to remove the person for some reason.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the minister must follow due administrative procedures.
So we are not proceeding with
the department will be happy to
do that. Was it provided for in
subsection?
Boards are very fighting pressure.
That he had his own
so question. That means that this proposed incursion will now report. This proposed fight then falls off.
Yes.
Yes.
So, Chair, are we saying that the deletion of the four in the book? You know, the one in brackets, which was destined to sort of go, that remains there.
No, it goes
completely, yeah, because I mean the reference here is to another provision in another act, the principal act. So we stay with three only then.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it was done. Okay, then it's clear.
Thank you very much. Now, members, can we then look at the clauses? Section 1.
Before we go this process, I thought the issue is, I thought maybe it was addressed to that. When they say she led a portal, they informed that the reason why of course didn't have any submission from the stakeholders, that SAD came to them and requested their and as a result of their request, then they were not affected. And the question was then that how are you going to deal with that particular issue and other related issues, or how soon can you deal with those issues with competition? If you remember in the last discussion, there was a sense of concern, not only in terms of SAP, and also in terms of this sugar here, the Norgo. Then they were given an assignment then to come back to as an advisor according. So I don't know whether maybe that has been done.
Perhaps I could speak to that matter. Now, that was the subject. It was, in fact, there was a reference to beer included in the first draft, made by an apartment. However, thank you for the chance.
You can imagine the chair is carrying and the phone ring.
But that was around October 2007 that this was done. I considered the matter with the department and the specialist in this regard, and I said, well, at that stage, the liquor industry, we call them the beer industry, said, no, we're not satisfied with this act because you include beer and that has got tremendous implications for the whole beer industry. And after carefully looking at it and there were discussions in taking place, on my request between the department and people like S.A. Brewery, which is a big one, according to the agreement of the Carter Nigga, So that was continued. And when we looked at the book, we saw that this whole book is an interim. If you look at the full act, just look at the page. Now this is the full act and regulations on this matter. It was clear to me that this act, which comes from 1989, had to be reviewed in total. We still have things in this act which are, if I may say, an old style language, the one I still use, you see, which is not in vogue anymore. It has to be reviewed with proper consultations and work with the beer industry. That, and I talked to Dr. Mohanjani of our department, was in charge of that. She is undertaking, in fact, I have before got a copies of the letter, that they will have full consultations. It will take some time because my instruction was review the whole act. These two basic matters, the composition of the board and the compliance with the European Treaty, are interim measures. Just urgent things which must be done now. Because if we wait 5 years for this whole act to be reviewed, you know how people are negotiating when big interests like beer and wine is at stake, it might take a long time. So I take responsibility for saying, don't even try beer, you won't make an inch. While these important things like the composition of your board, and at least that is able to be transformed, and at least these norms applicable for making the trade union Europe at least applicable at least in some areas, I'm sure our advisors can speak more about it. That is also my advice to Parliament. If you call for a review of this act, I can tell you the board as it is will stand for many years. We won't be able to comply with those aspects of the European Union agreement. And this will put us back. But this before us is India. I, in actual fact, want as soon as I will be talking there on Monday, we have a meeting. I will, and the new DG of agriculture is yesterday assumed duty, Jovi, as a full time DG now, and Dr. Mohanjani is. DDG. I want to talk at the report from her and I even bring it back to Parliament. How far I have been along with reviewing this act. I hope they've gone some way. That is the only I have.
Thank you, Minister, particularly now that we can move before maybe we go where the
Mr. Chairman, could I just comment on what the Deputy Minister said? I fully agree with him that we should now use this act to get the necessary obstacles out of the way on two parts. In terms of the board, which is outdated according to our new constitution, but also in terms of what is necessary to comply to the European standards. We sell more wine outside the country than we drink in South Africa. And European countries have now stated that if we do not comply to basic measures which they specify and which we are enabled by this act, we're going to miss the boat. And another export opportunity for South African produce would just be gone, like the meat industry, which is now closed for us. So this is an important aspect. Not only in terms of the wine industry, but also for the whole economic survival of the wine producing area. This is a measure to comply while the full act is being revised and put into place. which is necessary, but that's a lot, that doesn't happen in a week or in a month, it's just a year. So I agree that we must do this. But we can't do this, Chair. This is now the third time that we've agreed that we're not going to ask for a full revival. That has to come later. So we're really chewing this bone over and over now.
Thank you. It's not a response, Chair, but to reaffirm what the honourable members and the deputy minister said. Essentially, if you think about it, this act exists today outside a policy vacuum. In other words, there's no policy that informs the positions that are in this act. And therefore, as the minister, rightly said, we go into a consultative process with all the industries concerned. That would be your sorghum industry, your beer industry, and the wine people, so that we build a policy framework that explains why we have this legislation in place. And that would be the new act. And that is the first one. And then you derive a strategy out of that. And then do a new act or bill that would then encompass all those areas in terms of what you want to legislate. That is really the process, and that doesn't take a year or two. That's a long drawn out process. There's always
but
a lot
the
of
new board will help.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
If you note the bill itself, right, you know at the beginning of the bill, it says that the words in bold size and scope are indicating omissions from existing investment. Which means in the principal act, it is going to be deleted, it's going to be out, it's not going to be there anymore. It's going to be there, and it's not going to be that four and then some thoughts that will be that as a content use. And at the end of that section, there's an indication that it was deleted by.
I just want to ask a question on one digit thereafter. By the substitution to subsection 6 of the following subsection. Now the old 6A is being deleted completely. But then we are amending B with some deletions and some additions. Shall I say some omissions and some additions? So what comes in the place of A? Well, when you now look at the total act, how will it read? Will it read 6B? Because if you delete A completely. Yeah, please explain.
It's already done. And then there will be nothing for the
dot.
And then there will be a B
which would be the
which would be
continue.
Yeah.
Okay.
If the words are going to be
always the entire for 6A is being deleted in its entirety. So what you are saying is that when you are then going to look at the act when it's promulgated, you are going to find that 6A was just a whole lot of talk. We want our laws to be clear, crisp, instead of having all these little things that don't belong there. When you have an A there and there's nothing to it.
Then if you have the laws understandable to every common citizen, what will lawyers do?
They'll make
What about consequential amendments? If you say that, then this issue after happens as well. That's what they usually did in the past.
Yeah, I'm loving it. No, but this is just a clear deletion of that.
That's got consequences.
Well, there are replacements for it. I think it's covered. I explained a while ago. You are the right.
No, my problem is this, Chair, that if for a good reason 6A has to be removed, fine. But then the current 6B, E6B, should be 6A.
I am
not responsible for this.
As you say,
not accountable for that.
Okay, no, as long as lawyers know how to interpret this thing. It's fine. It's not meant for us.
but could our chairman, if you satisfy the law, that it is a really important matter. This is just interim. But the really important matter is to address, you see, the liquor as a whole, and when you start including a big product like beer, I'm not very knowledgeable about this very complicated industry. But there are different laws addressing this. Some of them are done by DTI. For example, liquor licensing, which is an important thing. But it's true that what you have with the basic intention with this act is to test wine and to certify some qualities of wine. But you know, as far as my knowledge goes, beer is not tested anywhere in South Africa. They can make beer from anything, I think. But it's also a huge thing. You must be very sensitive about beer. If you go there, that's the road ahead for bark and for DTI with agriculture. Must be very sensitive because beer is also a cultural product. That is also misused. Traditional. But on the one hand, you must protect real traditional beer, because that's a cultural product, and I think we can market it in Parliament. But it should also not be mishandled. For example, now in the Act, we have something to protect that people make alcohol from anything and call it wine. That can be acted. But we've not protected enough. But these negotiations will follow. It will be very difficult because it will have to work with DTI And then the provincial powers also comes into the state, which is something different. I don't even want to think of 76 law. All that I would advise is that the department, the DDI, and who else, and they already had a meeting with Isaguris, that they get their gears right for the coming term, next term. That's all I just want to know.
No.
Drink wine, not beer.
We'll close that river when we get there. But we did ask the question last week, in other territories, what sort of practice to have in the beer? Is there anywhere else where beer is being
except the selling.
Yeah.
There's also the legislation which is handled by the Department of Health. Disinfectant,
cosmetic disinfectant stuff.
Which is, I don't know what that would be.
You know the metal level of the cost when you get there. I'm sure the code is not that much.
That might help. That might help.
Yeah. Now, do we have any members? Let's start with section one. Do we have any suggested amendments?
I'm sorry I was not here when the bill was gone through, but does it not make more sense if we talk of in 1A a container meaning a receptacle rather than saying a container means a container? Container means a receptacle, something that they can
receive. Oh, it's a way that they can transport this technical thing.
The reason we suggested for more that a receptacle is that in the boot of the gear, a receptacle is something else used for different purposes and the ordinary container and this container. For the product, it's typically something that stores the huge container that stores the liquor, not the item correctly, but that stores the liquor, used for manufacturing and storage, that would be a receptacle. So, in order to differentiate it from a container, we have to suggest an amendment of this particular definition of container. To say container means a container with a capacity not exceeding 5 liters, which means the receptacle exceeds 5 liters with a capacity more than 5 liters. It's a huge container used in manufacturing and storage of the liquor product.
Container is defined.
There's something to do with
act. There is container that is defined means a receptacle with a capacity not exceeding 5 liters. Now you've changed that because of modern transport methods for some reason. I think that's the reason. It's just the way in which you handle it.
Something which you could exercise in the cover, a receptacle.
A container.
Something else. So the technical meaning, given a technical meaning in the industry.
It is why there is our
ordinary container. So the receptacle is used in a different context.
And
you
couldn't find another word to explain container.
So that's why you said a container in the
context. I know it's ugly to make it up, but you don't know how else to explain container being something else. a thing with
that. It will only come right when you redesign the whole act.
And then the people in the industry were satisfied with this formulation, this change of.
Now you think, you know, if you read this act, you should have had 2 bottles of wine.
Yeah.
I think more.
Cool. With that explanation, is there any other amendment that you'd want to suggest?
I note that they are removing here in 1C the word vinifera. I don't know much about wine and stuff because I don't consume it. But they say here means fruit of plants of vitis. Is that
oh, wait, you must explain that.
The vitis is a genus, and vinifera would be a species.
So what?
A species.
Genus.
Okay, I'm going to do that. Because I did that this morning with Ed, so that, you know, from a legal sense it makes sense. It's like saying BMW would be, in this case, vitis. And then the different 1 series, 3 series, is what vinifera.
That's
so when you say vitis vinifera, you are restricting yourself to the 7 series. So you can't do 1 series, 3 series. And that's
the historical reason.
Yes. In terms of, this also comes out of our negotiations with the EU in the terms of the SA-EU trade agreement, that they wanted to limit us to, there's a list of 5 that we were restricted in terms of making wine from those particular countries. And in terms of their law, they also have limited it to British. So we are trying to have an equivalent system so that we are able to make wine from other varieties of grapes of the genus British.
Now you're schooling for us.
No.
Bring down your
All right,
thanks.
Well done.
I did a similar thing on
TV. Okay.
You do this. Explain it like people.
Yeah.
What? Who can tell me what?
That question for Deborah.
Stephen, perhaps you can tell me the English pronunciation of this word for one of the members. I couldn't talk. Today I even can't talk English. You see, in they talk about the board consists of at least 8 persons now, with the relevant knowledge, skills, or expertise in viticulture, and then this
onology.
That means the comes from to brew. It is fermentation. Fermentation.
Yes.
How do you pronounce that?
Enology.
Are we done with
I'm just educating myself.
Okay. No, it's okay. If we're done with section 1, we can go to section 2. and then the first issue is clarity about what is enology.
No, there's one before that.
Yes.
On the same paragraph. Yeah. Now, the question of changing the word member to persons, what could be the rationale behind that? Considering also that further down we do make reference to a member does that. What is the reasoning behind changing that? A board consists of members, say.
It's my thinking, because we speak of 8 members, and my understanding is with that knowledge cube. But there are other people that are also going to be appointed as members, like three officers of the department. The one person, the one person. So when the minister appoints members, she's going to appoint everybody from one
official
as well. And that's why, if we said members only, that would mean she only appoints the people in one.
And the
other three or four
are officials but not members.
So that is why I decided that we should take away members and make it persons, because then it's everybody that's going to be appointed, even departmental officials, because minister needs to assess them and make sure that they're the right people.
So then this person becomes members of the board.
Yes.
All of them. All the people.
And officially
the officers, the one person nominated by ARC, the one person designated by the minister, they all become members.
Yes.
Not just the people in point one, which are have the relevant knowledge skills.
So, Chair, that's my last thing I'll say today. So it is now by law officials are persons. We back to remember that. By law officials are members. Is that right? They're not just something else.
They're people.
Okay. From now on.
But I'm sure, with the understanding that the officials, they are employed there by the minister. They are there on behalf of the minister. They are not appointed as members of the board in a general term of the members of the board. I think that should be clear.
But always members in their capacity as such.
Don't want them to get them.
I think Mr. Lali's question needs to be taken a bit further. And that is that we've seen in the past where the minister deploys a person from her department as a member of a particular board. I would say that if that person has to carry out his or her duties, where he's going to incur some costs, traveling costs, subsistence costs, that's okay. But that person should not actually be remunerated, because that person is utilizing the time for which the person is being compensated as an employee of the department. We've had cases in the past where thousands and thousands of rands were paid as allowances to officials of the department who were deployed in various boards to carry out functions on behalf of the minister, shall we say. So, Chair, that I don't know whether it's covered for you.
It's covered.
I've seen it somewhere. It's covered. I'm trying to look for it.
No, Chair, it is covered, but also
it's in subsection 9.
It's covered within the Act. But also the part of the Act prohibits any official from being remunerated for duties that are performed whilst in their capacity as official. So
it's provided it's only in this,
yeah.
in this Act.
No, in the Public Services Act as well.
Then you've got a bone to pick.
Yes, absolutely.
No.
Unless they have permission of the minister. The Public Services Act has it's a big section which deals with remuneration for services outside and within the public service. And the bottom line is no remuneration can be earned either outside or within without the permission of the minister.
It's the head of the party.
No.
So I think it's the minister, not head of the minister. Because the head of the department is the apostle. You can't expect head of the minister to approve that. Because the mayor approved that and the chair had it there. That is clear, we know. But the issue then is, in terms of questions, I'm sure you were referring to those who said they want to land that. Which they are still owed us an explanation to them. They have not been refunded that money. You know. And my problem with that thing is that the action that's supposed to be taken by the minister, in most cases, is taking too long. But you can't move from a department A to a department B without clearing what we have done in department A.
Can we get the...
Anyway, just
leave. There's a clause that talks to the... I mean, there is no problem, but can we deal with that one again? I need to have fun with the suggested amendment of the statement of the members by Tesla. We can then move on.
Chair, can I just speak an explanation here?
Yes.
It's in section 2. Under 2D Roman 2.
Are we fine with B before we go to B?
Minister shall appoint the members of the board. Well, it's subject to paragraph D, and that's where I want to.
Yeah.
I want to ask, Chair, this is Roman 2. The minister shall establish a selection committee consisting of at least 4 persons and designate a chairperson for the committee. And the selection committee shall, from the nomination submitted to it, complete a short list of eligible candidates and submit its recommendation to the minister for the appointment of members to the board. Now, Chair, the minister appoints the selection committee. The selection committee will then submit a list of members. Let's assume there were 50 and they whittled down to say 15. It will be this selection committee that'll decide that. But now nowhere is it being said how the selection committee is to be composed. I mean, these people, who will they be? Is it just that the minister decides, wakes up one morning and decides, my selection committee will have Tom, Dick, Harry, and Patricia, and Patsy, please?
If I may respond, the ultimate issue is that the minister has the sole power of appointing. The sister, she takes, she forms or establishes the selection committee. So, in most acts, a lot of the acts don't make provision in terms of the acts for selection committee. So it's merely to assist the minister. So yes, in terms of what you said, she does have the power to select the people she believes would get the best people out of that, those candidates in the past.
Where does she get those people from?
Where
does he get the people to form the select committee?
Yeah,
the selection
it's such a practical way of doing it. You can't actually legislate on such practicalities in the Act. If there is a thing that the minister in her ministry will have to decide on how she will proceed with the selection of, or establishing a selection committee.
Well, she has a whole department.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, can we assume then, if I think right, in a hurry, we'll make sure that I won't wait until tomorrow so that you'll be fine. If you look at section 2, then 2A, Roman Pickle 1, I would assume that the selection committee will be knowledgeable, because in terms of the requirement, those people should be knowledgeable in terms of that subject. I would then assume that the selection committee will have knowledge so that they are able to establish that this person is the best
matter. In practice, what would happen is that let's say you talking of what's the support we can use an example. Let's say the ARC for argument's sake. So you're talking of a scientific research committee, and let's assume it also says that people have to be knowledgeable in terms of that area. Administratively, what it says is that the minister would have to find people within the department with that knowledge in terms of how the ARC performs. And those people form part. They don't necessarily have all of them to have that knowledge, because it's not required essentially that everyone has that knowledge in terms of what the board membership. But you need to have some people who are able to have the background knowledge as to what that board is supposed to do. So in the ARC, you would probably select somebody from scientific research directorate within the department, or somebody also from plant production, seeing that ASC works on plant production or animal production issues. So in my view, it is an administrative exercise that you would want to have people who have bank knowledge in terms of that area of work to be part of your selection panel.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to add in your role, because my understanding is that you're supposed to be reading the role. So, on the part of the next thing, do we have anything to do the role which may be guide us to how the committee is going to do the major work? That's something we can put in the next for the next one.
Like I said, and reiterate, the minister has the mandate, the full power. So how she decides to select members is actually her prerogative. And she has this mandate from the president. And she's the most senior executive authority within that sphere. So because she has that mandate, she opts.
Let's not talk about she.
So the minister will then have the prerogative. We can't answer, we can't legislate on an administrative practice. So I don't know, Deputy Minister, you can
just it belongs to the heart of the of what the executive action is.
Yes.
And that is eventually arises from the Constitution.
Yeah, the basics of this is basic. If the minister doesn't appoint suitable people, they're going to, not going to get a suitable answer. She'll have to take responsibility for that.
Which
committee or board she has to approach, and each will have a different group of people. So that's the minister's worry. She has to take all, or she has to take full responsibility for that. No. You can't decide then who must be in each case, then because then you become a judge. The power of this in the minister, and the minister must take responsibility for what he or she does.
So, but you see, Chair, I mean, one must remember that in this particular instance, as Comrade Glali says, Section 2A, states quite clearly, 2A Roman 1 states quite clearly that the people have to be knowledgeable in terms of ABCD. This is a specialized board. It is not just, you get a whole lot of people together. Somewhere along the line, it should say that the selection committee shall consist of people who at least have some insight into this particular industry or whatever, I mean, legal wording there may be. I don't know, Chair, yes, perhaps constitutionally the political head of a particular department may have certain powers. But then on the other hand, again, I think we need to be very careful that when you give powers, I mean, the legislature is now going to give powers. And the legislature takes into account the interest of the broad population. In this particular case, the interest not only of this industry, but it goes beyond that, because DTI is also involved. I mean, business is involved here. It's not only the question of wine making or growing the grapes for the wine. It goes far, far beyond. I don't know, Chair, I just say that sometimes our legislation is couched in such a way that you leave too much power and that depending on the personality involved, the power can sometimes not be appropriately used. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to call it abuse. And that's a source of bother. I think our legislation needs to have lesser ambiguities. It should be more clearer. I mean, I'm just making a point here that we have to legislate. This the minister says that that particular act has been outdated for years now, and it takes years again to get it updated. So this legislation is going to be on your statute book for many years. You never know when will it be updated.
That must be. I mean, if you look at most of your laws, they don't even have this provision of the election commission, how they are appointed. And I think the fact that we even have this provision for the appointment of this board, it becomes a safety valve for us to be able to get the right person for the board. I suppose my assumption is that in the exercise of that administrative task of appointing, the minister will apply it.
And the minister will be he.
So I don't want to use the he because the danger is that we will make assumptions that look, this baby belongs to this current minister.
If we want to try and now that committee looks like, and we put it in the act, then the minister still has the prerogative to appoint a committee to decide on who she must appoint on that committee, to decide who must be fine. So you
get the selection committee for the selection committee.
Yes, for the selection committee. For the selection committee.
I think perhaps we should also remember that there is a balance in terms of this power, that there is this committee that every now and then holds the departments and the different boards to account, and it is at those moments that you are able to establish whether a board has knowledgeable people, and that's the oversight that I think is in place in support of what you are saying, that the minister would have selected the right people, and it is how they present themselves in terms of representing a board in front of parliament that you are able to establish if there is that balance.
So that was a useful little debate.
if this particular provision had not been made here, we wouldn't be having this debate. But now that we are told that there's a selection committee which is going to assist the minister in setting up a board that must have people with certain expertise, at least shouldn't we consider saying the minister shall establish a selection committee consisting of at least 4 persons who should have the relevant knowledge such as indicated in 1 at the top there, 2A1.
In respect, that goes very far.
why don't we simply remove?
It will restrict the minister. Perhaps the best person to advise her on people with different skills and study is someone working in her human relations department or human resources department, which are supposed to be specialists in getting the right person appointed. But that person doesn't know a thing about wine, but he knows what is the qualifications to be a laboratory specialist. The moment you make it too narrow and you restrict them, remember this, it also stands 30 days after the appointment, it will be laid on the table in Parliament. Now, parliamentarians who are wide awake will see that and see, oh my hell, here they put someone on who's actually a wine drinker and not a wine analyst. And they can make an appropriate noise and ask a question to the minister.
And that's very good.
Put him to shame or not to shame. No, it can't.
Because then that other person who was left out of the nomination, you can't even go to court on that.
Sometimes they just say that, or rather, let me say this is okay. For instance, if for the Department of Justice advertised both for employment of the same law advisor, the selection panel that is created within the department is not made up of state law advisors only. You find that there are other people in the administration, you know, the forces, and also.
You know nothing about law.
It is only the I don't think an example said that we not really look up to have here and there, you know. As the minute I will obviously take it to the authority to appoint this particular tenant, maybe to the panel, I'm not sure. But I just say what is currently occurring in various departments. So it's not this thing that this committee should comprise of. Although this deal is going further to give the minister the authority to appoint the
Hey, we're not insisting, but the problem is that they simply they decided to do something they don't normally do, which is to tell us how the minister is supposed to go about appointing this thing. So we have to apply our minds to that particular
I think we have another appointment, so I accept my excuses.
Okay. All right. No, I think on that note, let's move to section 3.
Chair, can I ask a question again?
Yeah.
Now, if you take now 3A, unless he or she is a South African citizen permanently resident in the Republic. Now, let's assume, that one of the officials that the minister decides to appoint is a person who is stationed say at some EU whatever, and that person is out of the country or intermittently, not in a continuous period, say for more than 6 months a year. Now I just want to know from the legal eagle, sorry that we ask these questions, but we also in the process sort of brush up our now do you consider such a person to be a permanent citizen, permanently resident in the Republic?
Yes, that's going into the other acts of what I think homosexuals would be able to assist there, but I can't give you a confirmed answer now. But what my understanding is, any citizen of South Africa who is permanently resident in South Africa, the moment you can be permanently resident in South Africa, you can have been domiciled in a place that you're working in, like the EU, some European country. You're not a resident, actually. You're a resident, but you're not a permanent resident of the EU. You're a permanent resident of the Republic. So you will always be a resident of the Republic. Mm-hmm. You just domiciled in that specific area. Domiciled means you, for the purposes of, it's the same
thing. Of executing a duty or whatever.
Well, I just wanted to say that there's an issue of practicality there, because this board member has certain board meetings. So in terms of application, it might be impossible for that person to be able to take part in both activities, and therefore that I think would be balanced in terms of how members are selected, honorable. Because otherwise it becomes impractical. It becomes a huge cost factor for the board itself to carry the cost of bringing somebody from overseas for board meetings. It becomes very prohibitive from cost point of view.
Now, but you see, if you need certain experts, and you find that this type of expertise resides in a particular person in our country, a permanent citizen of the country, but who for the purposes of the execution of his other duties, or her other duties, is domiciled somewhere else. I'm just asking, these things are possible, aren't they? Aren't they possible? I mean, these things can happen.
And also the subsequent.
Yes, the following.
Yeah.
The
cannot always be assumed that the report is a
piece
of play. Yes.
Are we trying to promote women? Okay. And subsequent.
And where I come from, it's always women who prove flicker.
Yes. You see, where you come from?
I support this amendment because where I come from, it's always women who prove flicker. Where you come from?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, I'm very much.
That's why I support this
amendment.
Sorry, Chair, now, in C again, we're going to have this messy business left behind. Because for C, 4, Roman 1, that entire sentence will disappear.
Where are you? In C,
and then you have the 4, A, Roman 1. Are you with me? In line 44.
Okay.
In line 44.
Yes.
In the case of an officer, at the minister's pleasure. And in any other case, for such period, but, and then it says for a period not exceeding. So what is going to be removed are the bold ones. So number one again goes, so you're again going to have those dots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's somewhere along the line, we must clean up legislation.
Yeah.
Be consequential, and follow.
Yeah.
A trend,
Leave all this thought.
That's why I say they're not going to be thought in the state. Because those paragraphs of Minister 1 and 2 are there within the subparagraph of 3. So the whole thing is these people just continue. A member of the board shall hold office subject to subsection 5 for a period not exceeding 3 years, and such members continuing office until he is or has a case that is in the program.
So it's going to be 4A?
Yeah, that's 1, 4A, 4A.
So those
are... 4A
will be that, and then you'll have the B.
Yeah.
A, and then the B is going to be...
You used to have members and alternate members. Now you just have members. What are the differences between alternate members?
Well, I think it was more practicality, because you'd have to also go the advertising route for alternative methods. And I think it becomes too much, it takes up too much time. So.
Sorry, sir, but I don't think that's correct. Because this is at the time, there are 50 people out there in the application, one upon four. You can take the rest of them. You don't have to go again for the time. I mean, I'm not saying that he must retake that, but the practicality that he refers to, he doesn't exist.
No, if I may just respond, usually an alternate member should actually be a member who is linked to the member that he's being an alternate to. If I may speak of Sukunda, usually when you have a board, and you have people that are members of the board, they normally select people that can represent them when they're absent. So that person should be a person who understands what the person he's representing or she's representing is going to be saying, doing, whatever. So it's also a continuity between the two. So with respect, they can't just appoint alternate members, two members. Practically, the members themselves should actually, that is why my understanding is in the board, they should have that constitution, which has rules, which says, okay, each member should have a representative in the event of him being absent or she being absent, or that person being absent. And that member should then select such a person to attend and to, so there will be continuity of that member's input to that board.
That's why she was blemishing it. I think she answered correctly that you can have alternate. But I also think you're absolutely right, Chair, in terms of secundus, because you're appointed by the minister. So you can't be appointed with a proxy. With a proxy. You are appointed in your capacity.
We had the Quorum in the beginning.
Last time we only need the Quorum once we talked. Now we're
Sorry, Chair, naturally we are accepting that in 4C, there is that addition
yeah.
immediately thereafter.
Yeah.
And then serve more than two consecutive
sentences.
Yeah.
Stop the film plan.
Again, chair fails to perform his or her duties in terms of this act. Oh, yes, that's done away.
Yeah.
Oh. That's done away. Yeah. Sorry. You see, chair, unfortunately, in the old act or the principal act, you've got this thing. It is now in 5B, 5B,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
subject to Paya.
Mm-hmm.
But they say at the bottom, sound reasons exist for doing so, or I guess for within the existing legislation. But you see, chair, again, office, in the opinion of the minister, sound reasons exist for doing so. Now, it's again a question, you know, what is a sound reason? But I mean, we can't do anything to it. I'm merely mentioning that in future legislation, we need to perhaps interrogate this kind of thing. Sound reasons exist for doing so. What could be a sound reason? The fact that you didn't greet me in the corridor, is that a sound reason?
The court usually applies a reasonable manner test. So only a court can actually determine
that
what
whether it was a sound reason or not.
Meant to be. But generally, you know, being an administrative organ in terms of PAJA, every decision has got to have a valid basis. So it has to have a logical, factual basis for that decision.
So Paja here is the Lokta.
I wanted to ask what's the difference between a vice and the deputy. But I say they are changing vice chairman to vice to deputy chairperson. So why not vice chairperson? What is the difference?
I think it's more modern.
Modern.
Make it sound like.
Yeah, that's
what
the technical.
We have vice principal at school, we have deputy principal. So I think we're just being a little more modern in our terminology.
Very technical difference.
Yeah.
No,
what I'm saying is that it's just something technical.
It's a womb.
The
English language must help us.
Well, the people
in the
city
of
Ireland, they have vices in
America.
Vice president.
Okay. So,
vice.
So I was saying the issue that we passed earlier is on Subsection 9, which says that a member of the board and a member of a committee of certain Subsection 8 who are not in the full-time employment of the state shall be paid from the funds of the board that allows the certain name with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance, the Chairman General, or in any case, any Subsection 8. Therefore, means basically that if you are in the full-time employment of the state, you should not be paid. So that's why I said that quite some.
but in the principal act, but the advocate said that it's in the public service
So yes, it does not exclude the right to other members.
No.
To pay any reimbursement, I mean to be reimbursed for any expenses they have incurred, like travel, etc.
Those that are not
even those are not even full time employment of the state.
No, those ones are raised up to determine in the Minister of Agriculture and Finance. I think we have got the full that kind of section 4.
Yeah, Chair, section 4, I just want to ask. There's now 4.1b. In a powder form which combined with any substance or liquid will have an alcohol content of more than 1% and is intended for drinking purposes. Now, what if it's in any other form? I see you are providing here for any other substance or liquid. So are you saying that it then covers anything else that a person can concoct?
Yeah.
Is this not open to other interpretations? Isn't there an unintended consequence in this particular formulation? I'm merely asking this.
So it is the pedestrian way of understanding this. If you do a concoction, have a solid and a solvent combined together, which in the end it would have the alcohol content of more than 1%. That is it's allowed. No present
transfer of all the
can I just ask? You see, in the principal act, you had now what is now becoming A. That was part of the principal act. Now it says here that now you are inserting B, this powder form business. And it says here, unless that product is a liquor product. Now that comes from the principal. It's a bit of a... I don't understand it correctly. Because may I just add here that this powder form may be a liquor product. An accepted liquor product. That you can mix it with water and drink it. But now here you say that is prohibited.
in the principal act, the liquor product is
defined. So we are referring here to that, and then that product, the product is a liquor product.
Yeah, and the product you're really referring to is not a product that has that alcohol content. It only
the chemical contact
when it mixed with some other substance.
Combined, yeah. That's the loophole. All other products are covered.
Sorry, I asked you to go that with a question because one wants that kind of clarity.
No, you're right.
I don't know, you know, I'm looking at this again with the discussion that another member raised now to say if weight loads, but the trouble with legislation is that you have a situation that you try to fix, but you also need to be anticipatory. I'm just thinking that if, when we say powder, shouldn't we say any form? Because if it's a powder, I can dehydrate it and make it a solid. And I know I'm asking myself a question. Here also, is there such possibility when they are in the
like a granular form?
But you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
That you can
like
dehydrate it, the same powder you dehydrate it, it becomes a block. Then it falls out of. And maybe what we need to say is, if possible, take out in a powder form, and then it will say any product which combines with any substance.
Yeah, I think you should look at that. It may have unintended consequences.
Because it can be answered. If you look at the beginning of the problem, it says no person has failed or failed
any
product.
Okay.
Any product. That will cover even the subsequent video if it is not in
powder form.
Any product.
You come on that. If you read that, if you say no person shall sell or produce or sell any, you know, you say it's A and B, and you read in that corner, you say it's saying any product in a powder form. You don't read that. You need to read the chronology of that. For that one, chapter one is A and B. Then you say any product in a powder form.
I think what it feels like just said is that no person shall sell or produce or sell any product which combined with any substance or liquid will have an alcohol content of more than 1%
or 10% or 90%. So you
can
read in a powder form?
Yeah.
No, I don't know from what this is, but this is what was said. No, don't you? Of course, you read the thing.
No,
can you not draw the in a powder or other form? Because then you cover the powder and any other form that you might find cost which you can add liquid to.
I think it makes a difference really if you say any product which combines. However, I just want to say that unfortunately Dr. Mukhajani is not here. This was actually discussed with her at the end, and there was a reason, there was a specific reason that she gave as to why they're including powder form here for now. Because remember, ultimately we're going to look at the entire act again. We are looking at redrafting. So I'm a bit hesitant to disagree with maybe deleting and leaving it as a product. I'm also trying to look through the current act and see if products being defined. And I know there are various definitions of various things in the act. So.
I'm just wondering if you can't pull it. Then people can convert it.
Yeah, you are limiting.
So it's to open up the scope that limits your scope.
What we can do maybe to compromise is to say any product including but not limited to a powder form which combines. I don't know, because then we're not getting rid of powder and we not really.
So maybe if you read subsection 1, it says no person shall sell or produced for sale. Any product with an alcohol content of more than 1% of means to food. And any product can be separated for a minute from the second provision of B. B is talking about the product in any part of form. A is general. Any product with an alcohol content of more than 1%.
What about products with alcohol content when combined? Yeah, that's the problem. So let's say for drinking purposes, that's where.
Unless that product is liquor compound, then liquor product is the problem.
Yeah. So the issue here is that this powder is not a liquor product, but once you combine it with the water or whatever,
it can become a liquor
product.
So the issue here is that do you limit yourself to powder?
Yeah.
Or do you
widen
it? Because the pattern can tell that it's powder.
Yeah, you see, Jeff, for example, innovations out there are great. Person can produce an effervescent type of a tablet.
Yeah.
And that's not catered for you. It's not a powder.
Can we settle on maybe any product, including but not limited, in a powder form? So we just add including but not limited.
Okay.
I think we should look at that seriously.
That actually works.
Yeah, Madam.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we know the name of this powder? Including but not limited. That's the beginning.
Right.
When they start with including but not limited. I'm saying, do we know the name of this powder?
Yeah.
Which is now being used at the moment by our team.
We do not know. We just know that there is a powder which when water is added, it becomes.
Yeah. And it can be a straight line, but it can be any combination of chemical substances that they can divide.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the point that Honorable made. Once we legislate powder, I will just make something else,
mm-hmm.
a granular form or a tablet,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll continue doing this and selling it to the children. And they do it in a nice packaging which looks very inviting.
No, because you know the business world is not friendly towards the social life of people. They're friendly towards the dollars they can make.
Okay. Then,
thank you, sir.
Okay. 6 and 5.
Yeah, sir. I've got a few problems here that I just need to clear up.
Okay.
It says here, sir, subsection 1. Wine shall be produced from grapes of a prescribed cultivar. Okay. Yeah. B. By the alcoholic fermentation in accordance with generally accepted cellar practices. Now that's a current provision, I take it, current legislation. Generally accepted cellar practices. Now to me, sir, that is wide open. In the existing legislation, unless there's a definition. But it says here, generally accepted cellar practices. Now, what is generally acceptable?
Okay.
Of the juice of grapes contemplated in paragraph A, or the reconstituted juice obtained from a concentrate of the juice of such grapes, or of a mixture of such juice and such reconstituted juice. Isn't there a better way of compressing this whole thing? There's too much constituted and reconstituted and all sorts of things here. It's very clean, you know, it's a bit too lopsided. I don't know, Chen.
Simple language, what are we saying?
Exactly, layman's language. How do we understand it?
What are we saying?
I can, the first question, generally is accepted cellar practices. That's the international norm. The word in general, accepted cellar practices, that is an international accepted norm. So it's not that, it's just not something, some wording that we've grabbed out of the air. If you talk general accepted international practices,
there is a, we have the international organization for wine and vine, which has standards, and they've got a list of general accepted practices which is listed. So it's listed, it's got guidelines, and it's not only done by South Africa, it's done by all the
international
in the international world. So it is published, it is available, so it's not just a word. So that is in actual fact should be very comforting if you have those kinds of words in your act. And that's the wording that the international people, especially Europe, when they buy wine from South Africa, they want to know that we have used these practices which has which complies with the international guidelines. So that is the first one. The second part, what is when you refer to a reconstituted juice, currently in South Africa, again, we're trying to ensure that we have international compliance. When you make wine in South Africa currently, you can only use fresh grapes. So you can only use grapes but that hangs on the vine that is that you press and you make wine from. Internationally, you can also concentrate the grape juice and you make a concentrated formulation of that grape juice. And what they then do is when they add water and to reconstitute that juice. So again, the reconstitution, that word, is again an international word. So it's internationally understood that you take that concentrated juice and you reconstitute it to its initial, initial content, how it looked initially, and then you make wine from that. So why it is said so elaborately is because you can make wine from the reconstituted juice, which you now make, and you can add fresh juice, and you can combine the two, and then you make wine. Or you can just make wine from the fresh juice, or you
or
can
only
just
from the
reconstituted. So that's why it has this elaborate means of explaining, but that is to understand the differences between the three ways of making wine. So unfortunately, it is very elaborate, but it's necessary to make it clear for the people that are producing the wine which of the three categories you are using.
Now I can see what you know about the matter of faith. Most Arabian is not a way that it cannot be acceptable to know. That's why you need lawyer.
I'm not
a lawyer. Because you say it's so simple, but now it's written something else. Okay. Thanks for that question. Section 11.
Very clear change, but of course he always talks about there must be labeling. This is extending labeling, making it very clear.
Section 13,
section A. So why doesn't the argument against labeling organically, why doesn't it apply here? It was a powerful gift.
Restriction on use of the classic name.
Weaker product derived from grapes, that's the addition here. And then I see authorizations that Z makes way for S.
Okay.
Why at least why once in a while I mustn't see a problem.
why the substitution of the content that which English are we speaking?
The accepted practice of language that is new. Because that would be the understanding. And then we're using the S's, even in emphasize with the S, emphasize.
You will have a problem with your computer. But normally it will do that when you write acid underline.
So that's what I'm saying, always a problem with my right hand.
Section 16. Why did it become necessary to insert these words and the international obligations of the Republic? Why specifically that?
It is specifically to do with the EU, the Union Agreement, because if we issue an import certificate, we have to comply with South African legislation, with the Legal Products Act. Now, because we have an agreement with the European Union, we have different agreements for the various member countries. So when we issue an import certificate, we must issue it subject to what was agreed in terms of that international agreement.
Oh.
So it might differ from what is on the next. So that is why it's
here. So you have to refer to the international obligations in terms of other agreements?
Yes.
Merely to provide for that.
And we get the correct copies of the...
Yeah. I think label makes way for particulars, which I think is far more precise. I think the label is really a label.
Can I go to the last
page? I'd say I don't know what those conditions were, BN. Substitution in subsection C is on the next page. I don't know what was deleted in B, but I take it might be good reason for deleting.
So why are we not putting it in bold letters and
B? The deletion.
It was
part of the. Of the principal,
I noticed that there's a heavy emphasis on Greeks. I take it that it's also an international obligation that they want clarity and that product is not derived from other substances. I note that there are varying amounts here. Can the legal eagle just tell us what informs these various amounts? 2,000 in certain cases, 4, 8, 16 maximum.
If I may just, I'm not
in sync now. Is this with regards to that amendment on section 23?
Yes.
And the penalties?
Yes.
Those amounts have been deleted.
They've been omitted.
Yes. And the reason for this is because we find that the offences that may be committed could be serious and sometimes could run into millions of rands worth of damages. So for some people to actually just get off so lightly with minor penalties, we're just trying to say this is how serious these kind of infringements can be.
So you're laying minimum sentence.
Yes, because that will be left to the discretion depending on the severity, because otherwise these penalties are really for a wine farmer that's established, it's nothing. They must be billionaires, so then they will continue to, the act then becomes useless, see? The act becomes useless.
I know we are 8,000, I mean 8,000, so there's a lot of money.
$8,089 is what, about 10 times that today, even more, almost 20 years.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay, so now we have to sum up the penalty.
Yeah.
Actually, also that was pretty in terms of financial.
Fine. So the issue may ask, I think you talk about the serious therapy concern. Why did you come to conclusion of that period? If it is serious therapy concern. What usually other legislation find that they range from 5 years upwards.
Within not less. Within not less than 3 years. So it can be 2 years or more.
So if it's 2 years and 6 months,
that the judgment is not.
Yeah, that is left to the discretion of the presiding officer, but it should not be listed.
Yeah, Monk will not say the jails are full.
Receptacle.
Now it's receptacle, not container.
Other than the container.
Yeah.
It's not related, actually.
So now that is one of the reasons that the decision of container was amended. When you say container means that the receptacle was important. The difference now between all these. The same cars and other processes are used in production. So the containers don't use in the production of storage of the components, other containers. So that is why there is that respectively relevant in the context of what is intended for purposes being. So if it's just there, then container, container is defined there because of the city, 5 liters. You will not be able to manufacture the production and storage of the computer. So it is relevant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
the container is for distribution.
So the container will be something that is used for
yeah.
Wine, the
yeah. So.
The receptacle is something different.
Does it ensure that if there is a huge container there or wherever that it is stored, that there can be traceability? That container must be marked and gold so that it can be determined that there was 200,000 liters or 50 liters in that container and that you can trace the amount that came from there that was in bottom and then you can verify the volume of the final product. Because what happens is they add water and they add all kinds of things to this initial container or this initial receptacle,
and how we have to ensure that there's traceability and there's also good safety and quality on that initial. We have to know what the initial volume was. And then also then to apply to our EU traceability requirements in terms of our international business to ensure that there's full traceability from the initial start to the end.
The transitional provision. That's a central amendment in terms of the fourth composition. Short title. So that's how we have to change. Now tomorrow, can we have copies of the budget and then also some points on that?
And also whether this cannot now be put out there to the center so that they can effect the changes.
Yes, it can do that. It can be ready tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So if you do it now, then tomorrow we have about the work matter. So we'll have to vote on the bill tomorrow. And also to the position of land that is the step amendment to the
election. Yes, tomorrow. What time do we start?
That is nice.
And they're standing with the resolution. That is
just. I'm sure voting won't take that time because we're not going to be very common. Yeah. Don't be raising heads.
And
you
see, Chair, we've got a lot of intelligence legislation and listening tomorrow. And I would like to be here firstly to give you a quorum.
Yeah.
And also to listen to Plush, you know, to the briefing.
Tomorrow.
Or else if we have a specified time when we want to go through the bill and vote on it. Then.
Yeah, we need at 10.
At 10?
Yeah.
They want to know. It's necessary for them to be here. Yeah. All of them. In light of the fact that it's a free from the
moment. No, I don't think.
No,
I don't
think.
It's only them all.
Not all. One or two characters. If there's something that needs some charity,
because they know that this is a control committee for food security.
And it hasn't got security.
Yeah.
Let me know that
Thank you. From day to day, you don't know what makes you move.
You have a CEO that's appointed today, you can set up rules and regulations. The guy doesn't know that you guys can set up policy. We need to do that from time to time. But you don't attempt them so heavy that you're in business.
You always want to be
why
Yeah, it is.